Hello and welcome to Two Old Guys on the Back Porch. I am Steve Scotch, and we have the lovely and talented Kat. That's C-A-T, cranking up the tunes. Kat, what's happening?
Hey, how y'all doing? We can be found on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and all your premier podcast platforms. We also can be found on Facebook and Instagram. Do it on the gram, baby. We also... two goofballs. We've got TikTok accounts, but according to Trumpy or ByteDance, I don't know how for much longer. We're going to shout out two towns that have listened to us recently. One is Stratford, Missouri. According to Ripley's Believe It or Not, Stratford is the only town in the United States that has two main streets and no alleys. The road to the north was Main Street until Route 66 was built. Behind the back of the businesses. So now they have two front doors for the businesses. Our other town is Peoria, Illinois. Peoria is famous for a historically significant industrial and agricultural center for two inventions. One is the first gasoline-powered and diesel engines, the mass production of penicillin, and the whiskey capital of the world in the late 19th century. Giving y'all a round of applause.
All right. Alcohol is in massive quantities here on the back porch. Ernest Hemingway once said, "I write drunk and edit sober." Love Hemingway. That belch was for you. Today I'm having a Modelo and then several more with a lime. Always with a lime. Kat, what you sipping?
I'm just having a little white wine.
All right.
Keeping it light and white.
Sipping the white. All right, evidently today it's all about the brand. You got to become a brand. What's it called? Brand ambassador?
Right.
That's the goal these days. You know, fuck getting up, going to work. Who needs that? You know, screw punching a time clock. Forget learning a trade. Never mind using your degree you went to school for to get a job in that field. Just try to sell multiple products, building a strong online presence. Again, I think the proper term is brand ambassador. Let's see. Celebrities jumped on board years ago. No, celebrities don't just do social media. They appear at events, do advertisements for a chain, brand, product, service, whatever. Let's name a few. Let's start with the queen of the ball, Swiftie. Soon to be Taylor Kelce. Is she going to change her name?
I don't think so.
She's a brand, baby. Don't switch the brand in midstream. Swiftie, she promotes Coke products, right? Think Coke, Diet Coke. Yeah, David Beckham, if anybody remembers who he was. Adidas guy. Charlize Theron, Dior. Beyonce, she's opposite of Swiftie. She goes with the Pepsi. They kick her the checks.
Well, it's Pepsi. They're out of Dallas, aren't they? So she's a Texas girl, so you can see that happening.
It was an easy get. Serena Williams, Nike. Why? Why do they do it? It's a win-win, right, for everybody? The celebrity pushing the products gets paid millies. The brand has a face.
Right. Well, everybody remembers Cindy Crawford and the Diet Pepsi. At the gas station ages ago.
Sports figures are big-time brand ambassadors. Got Lionel Messi. He's Adidas. Tiger Woods. Nike. No, take that back. Tiger got dumped by Nike. I think it was last year. Because he managed, I don't know, to fuck up that 27-year relationship with Nike by being... probably one of the most deplorable human beings that's ever walked this earth. Tig, go away. Some other celebs and major brand relationships that went sour. Remember Mikey Phelps won 23 gold medals in the pool, was a brand ambassador for Subway, Kellogg's, and a few other major corporations, which kind of makes sense because after you smoke weed, you tend to get hungry, and a sub or a bowl of cereal will do the trick. Mikey got dumped after the big weed scandal. Of course, that was way back in the day. Now it doesn't matter. I mean, out here where we live, the smell of weed is rampant. It's everywhere you go. Sharon Stone was the face of Christian Dior until she opened her mouth about the Chinese treatment of the Tibetans. So then she got sent packing. Kobe Bryant made millions on Nutella. I don't really remember that one.
Maybe that's one that was in Europe. I don't know.
Until a woman accused Kobe of being dirty, and then it was bye-bye to those checks from Nutella. Look, it's a great gig, right? You know, putting forth little to no effort and getting big checks.
So are we going to talk about who are the real brand ambassadors now?
I've got somebody. Who do you have? The ones that are out there now that are on the interwebby pushing product.
The influencers.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's what they are.
I have a friend who's a runner in North Carolina, Charlotte area. She's a teacher, but she got to go on a brand trip with Nike. Now, I know she doesn't wear Nike. She wears Brooks like I do, but, you know, she got that check. Well, then you go on the ticky-tocky. And there's these whole trips. I just watched one today. They were all going to Joshua Tree for T-Mobile. I guess T-Mobile's trying to push that, you know, you can get phone service anywhere, even in Joshua Tree. So, you know.
You mean the Billy Bob Thornton ad?
Well, these gals are not Billy Bob Thornton. These are TikTok royalty.
The influencers are kind of on a lower level.
Yeah, but they don't say that. They're getting some good checks. There's one last year.
But for how long? How long is this gig going to go?
I don't know. My girlfriend there in Kentucky got a gig with QVC. She's making QVC clothes.
Well,
how she got famous was because Britney.
Go ahead.
Rating Britney videos.
Go ahead. Push your point.
You know, you can, if you get real professional and you are good at it, you can make money doing this stuff. I mean, there was one, they went to they took a whole bunch of this one cosmetic company called Tarte, and they were all talking about who was going on the Tarte trip. And they were all going to Bora Bora, some exotic place that, you know, those places where there's a shack out in the middle of the ocean, and that's where you're staying for the night, all luxury and stuff, all nice food.
Again, I think it's the influencers. I know you can look up their numbers and they got this million followers and that million followers, but really, most of them are pushing cheap products that are going to be what? Here today, gone tomorrow, right? Well, I mean, look at the Kardashians. Use this cream, use this shit. And then they don't even use it themselves. You know, what is it, a month or two from now, that company doesn't even exist.
Well, see, they flipped the script on that. They ended up starting to making their own companies that are trying to stick around. Good jeans or good American jeans.
Whatever. I think it's, I don't get it. You know, the brand ambassador on the social media train, it's destined to crash. Go get a real job. All right, let's roll right into one tough son of a bitch. All right. The drum guy's getting old and slow. All right, this week it's Langston.
Not the only one.
Langston Hughes. Who's Langston Hughes? You better look him up. Born in 1901 from Joplin, Missouri. Say it how you want. Langston Hughes was a poet, social activist, playwright, columnist, and he wrote novels in his spare time, whenever that was. He was the innovator of jazz poetry. Not just sitting there on your ass reading poetry, but taking it to a new level by performing it.
Right. He was a reporter, too. He reported in Europe, Africa, Soviet Union, Asia, documented the Spanish, documented the Spanish Civil War. That's something Hemingway did.
Langston was always on the move, a leader in what was known as the Harlem Renaissance.
Right.
A period during the, I guess, 20s and 30s.
Especially what we call the Jazz Age.
Yep, centered around Harlem, Manhattan, and New York City. They kind of saw a cultural movement of African-American music, dance, art, fashion, literature, theater, all the arts.
He was a classmate of at Lincoln University with Thurgood Marshall.
He was kind of very influential regarding politics.
Right.
In the black community at that time, you got to remember racism was everywhere, and it was kind of accepted when he was, pushing all this.
Well, some people trying to bring it back.
Many well-deserved accolades for Mr. Hughes. His home in Harlem is listed on the National Register of Historic Places. There's a middle school named after Langston Hughes here in our home state of VA. And, of course, the highest honor ever is he got a Google Doodle. And that makes Langston Hughes one tough son of a bitch. All right, did we watch something?
We watched something, and I enjoyed this because it got to show a band I kind of liked, I really wasn't a big fan of back in the day, but I kind of got into.
Who?
It had a documentary on Netflix about Devo. Now, Devo, you look at that name, you're like, what does that mean?
What's it mean?
It de-evolution. It's this theory, satirical concept, centered around the band's identity, suggests that humanity is regressed rather than progress, regressing to primitive, herd-like, dysfunctional state despite technological advances. Now, that means even though society...
We're going backwards.
Well...
And they proclaimed this in the late 70s?
Right, right. Correct. They all were, Ohio boys there at Kent State. They're all art students.
Very smart.
Very smart guys, Back in my day, some of the coolest bands ever came out of art school, not off of YouTube, okay? And it was a really good, because everything they did was kind of groundbreaking. Like, they did videos before MTV was even because they were art students.
They were really bad.
They had interesting concepts of how to, No satisfaction doing, the Rolling Stones
that
satisfaction.
Song is horrible.
Whatever. Yeah, but it's interesting. It made you think.
I'm going to say, when Devo came out, you paid attention.
You paid attention.
You didn't know what the hell was going on, and you didn't know if it sounded good or not, but you watched it and you listened to it.
And, they say, of course, they were there at Kent State when the Kent State shooting happened back
then.
They
were?
Yes. The National Guard killed college Vietnam protesters in Kent State in 1970. And
I didn't know that.
Right. And it's cool how they, they really, sometimes they would just lie to the, to the club guy and go, yeah, we're going to play Bad Company. Yeah, we're going to play,
And they got up there and played drum machines and keyboards and wore like traffic cones on their heads. And people are like, what the f*** is this shit?
And, they finally.
It was entertaining.
Entertaining. Though. It was not boring. People ask, what is New Wave?
Did kind of help bring it in.
Right.
The weirdo shit.
They were. We had they came in kind of before punk, but really didn't discover it until after punk, right?
Yeah.
And that's was kind of like the invention of new wave to me.
They did have a big bump with MTV.
Right.
You know. I mean, they played Whip It probably 8 billion times.
Well, you got to think. They didn't have a whole lot of videos, so they started out.
They only had a handful.
So these art students who were making their own films.
And if you watch that video, it looks a little... I'm not going to say it.
Well, see, that was like the rub. That was like their...
They probably didn't mean that.
No, they didn't. They were kind of flipping it on its head. Anyway, they end up going to CBGB there in New York. And everybody's like, you're so cool.
Oh, they fit right in there because that was weirdo city.
You know, they end up getting...
Everybody's in New York on drugs going, yeah, Devo rocks.
You know, Mark Mothersbaugh comes up like, yeah, Sean Lennon quoted one of my songs to me and it freaked me out.
Can you imagine
John
being
Lennon,
in a little shithole club and these freaking, it was five of them, wasn't it?
Right.
Came out there and with these goofy glasses on and you're just sitting there going, I'm stoned, but I ain't that stoned. What the fuck are they doing?
Anyway, one of the people who really projected their career was one of my favorites, David Bowie. And he said, we're gonna get together and we're gonna get an album going. And then he ended up passing it on to Brian Eno, and they ended up going to Germany and making their first album. And of course,
the rest is history.
There was a whole, you know, almost bidding war between Warner Brothers and Virgin Records about who was gonna do. And that's how they started.
And then Mark went on, of course, to make
excellent soundtracks. He made tons of, you know, it wasn't just Rugrats and all that stuff. Anyway, if you want to check out the really cool, crazy documentary about Devo, you can find it there on Netflix. If you want to see what your parents are really into or what we were back into in the 70s and 80s, check out Devo on Netflix.
It's a good watch. All right. I'm so parched. I need a cocktail. What do we got, babe?
Okay. We've got the only cocktail ever created. And I ever created. This is my own mix.
Oh, wow.
It's on Pinterest.
I'm sitting up straight.
You're
now.
Sitting up straight
All right,
now.
What do we got?
It is the Pink Lady Appletini.
Nobody came up with that?
Nope.
Wow, you checked all your sources.
I checked it out.
All right, ingredients.
Okay, it's 1.5 ounces of gin, 1/2 ounce of apple brandy. You could use applejack, but I think apple brandy tastes better. 1/2 ounce of honey syrup or simple syrup, 1/2 ounce of grenadine, 4 ounces of apple cider. Put it
you
all
knew
in a shaking.
Simple syrup was going to be in this.
Well, we got to sweeten that thing up. Right. You're going to put it in ice in a shaker and shake it on up and put it in your martini
glass.
Okay,
it looks pretty cool. It looks like it's a different color.
Yeah.
It's like an orangey pink.
I think it's like a pinky red to me.
And what's it called?
Pink Lady Appletini.
Cat's very own Pink Lady
Appletini.
Appletini.
Because there is
a
pink
apple.
That is an actual.
Okay. You're gonna get sued for this.
I'm probably yes.
Whew. Good gosh, you're not gonna believe this. It's good. High five, baby. Damn, that thing's money. Can we bottle this? We're gonna sell this shit. We're going all the way. Yes. Good job, Catherine.
You're welcome.
Check out the cat.
Okay, if you want to find it, go to Pinterest and put Pink Lady Appletini there in your search bar, and picture of this drink should pop up with some ingredients.
Good. Boom! All right, this week we were bumpered in with a band called Turnstile, formed in 2010 from Bmore, Maryland. I didn't know they were from Baltimore. 5 EPs, 4 albums later, people are starting to pay attention. Look, Turnstile made Band of the Week on Two Old Guys on the Back Porch for one reason. and One Reason Only.
And what is that, Steven?
They have songs that sound exactly like the Police. I mean, you got to listen to this shit. I couldn't believe Brendan Yates. Sorry, Brendan. He sounds exactly like Sting. It's
Sting-a-ring a ding dong.
It's kind of creepy. I want to see if what's Sting's real name?
Oh. Stewart something another.
No, it's not. It's something that we can never think of. Anyway, I want to know what Sting thinks about these guys. A Turnstile song, Holiday, was nominated for a Grammy in the Best Rock Performance category, and their song Blackout was nominated for a Grammy for Best Rock Song and Best Metal Performance. This was in 2023. These cats are all over the map, because if you listen to them now, you don't hear any metal in these dudes. I don't even know who they are. Turnstile. They came out of nowhere on the Charlottesville station, WNRN, we listened to right up the road here. And I'm like, oh my God, is that Sting's kid? Like, who is this dude? No, it's the band called Turnstile. They played Glastonbury Festival this year, which is the mecca of festivals. They're coming around here
soon.
They are
going to be here September 24th at Browns Island, Richmond, Virginia.
Browns Island's cool. Check out Turnstile wherever you get your music. Thank everybody for hanging out on the back porch. We'll see y'all down the road.